You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And here we are, people. Wednesday, April the 17th, which means Stump Rothenberg, which means Stuff You Missed, which means we are 1 week and 1 day until the NFL draft. We have found out the Knicks schedule. Before we get to any of that, we have the Rangers opponent. Let's say good morning to a man who can't help but cry at a moment's notice, and that, of course, is the great Rick DiPietro. Hi, Rick.
Oh, hi, David.
How are you?
Well, you know how I get emotional. You got both hockey teams in the playoffs. Mets can't lose.
I know.
Get very excited.
Yankees?
Yankees do lose.
Yankees lose.
Also kind of gets me excited.
Yep.
So, hey, it is a Stump Wednesday. The best day of the week.
It is a Stump Wednesday.
People wait a lifetime moment like this.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's real nice.
That's nice. So how are you?
I'm doing good. I've been better, but I'm doing good.
Good, good. I like to hear that. We have a lot to do today. You ready for a jam-packed four-hour show?
I am. Could you let the people know, since we were texting back and forth, because we're such close text buddies.
Right.
Tell RJ and Raymond how fast the kid was throwing yesterday in Ben's baseball game.
So he's going to Amherst. Really good pitcher. Not only was he throwing 91... he maxed out at. He had, like, you know when kids miss, and especially at that age, like major leaguers, you expect it, but they miss, and it's like, you know, clearly a ball. Every pitch was right there.
Right around
the zone. He was throwing 91 miles an hour. He had a perfect game into the fifth, and we wound up with one hit, and that was it.
I wish Major League Baseball did a better job. I don't understand why... why we can't have a camera on the catcher's helmet.
Well, that would be cool.
Right, just so you can get an idea of how hard, like what you're explaining at the high school level, 91, four different pitches, able to dot location, how hard that would be to hit.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't, so.
No, right, you had one hit, Ben had the hit, but that's high school. Imagine at this level, like what Kikuchi was throwing last night.
No, Kikuchi looked filthy. Absolutely filthy. By the way, these Yankees uniforms, and Rodon specifically, it looks ridiculous. Like when, because he's a sweaty guy, and I don't blame him for that. But when he's wearing the road grays and he sweats, they look like they're cheaply made garbagey uniforms.
Well, they are cheaply made.
It's pretty apparent.
I would almost say to all of the teams, if you're going to continue to let fanatics make these uniforms, that you gas the names in the back anyway because they look stupid because they got the small letters. I was watching a game the other day. Guy slides into home, and the entire from the bottom of his pant to the top of his hip completely explodes wide open. Gone.
It ripped open.
No, like the whole seam of the pant completely gone. Whole leg hanging out.
Where did it go?
It just flew right open.
It just ripped wide open?
Exploded. This wasn't like when you see a guy get up and like the back of his pants will be ripped or whatever. This was the whole side of his leg just opened up. Can you imagine what CeCe, the way he sweat, would look like in those road grays?
No.
Well, I mean, Rodon must, he has to be the sweatiest guy in baseball.
How about Chapman in those road grays?
No, it would have been a bad look. They're awful. They really are. I mean, you if you're not allowed, what's going to happen in the summer? What's going to, I mean, right, you're playing in climate controlled Toronto. What happens when you're playing in 88 degree humidity? What is it going to look like?
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that Fanatics is making the NHL jerseys next season.
Oh, good.
I'm not that excited about it.
That's really good. That's really good. They got to fix those things. But speaking about fixing, Yankees maybe have some fixing to do. Mets, they're red hot. They win again. I mean, they're 9-3 in their last 12. It's another series that they've won. Very timely hitting. Bullpen comes in. Garrett to Drew Smith. Yeoman's work. And the Mets are now, I didn't think we were going to get here. They're above 500.
Right. You mentioned it. We talked about this and the resiliency of this team. How Joey Wendell last night, guys have found ways to contribute. That's the sixth comeback win of the season already. Fourth straight series win. And you mentioned Reed Garrett, man. I mean, and what this bullpen has been able to do. But bullpen's got the, now it's not the best ERA in Major League Baseball, but as far as National League teams are concerned, they get the best National League ERA in the bullpen, which is going to be big if you're starting pitching, you know, isn't going to give you length. The bullpen has to be good, which it was. Quintana was good. Threw a lot of pitches there early. I had 62 pitches through three innings, which is probably too many 3-2 counts. But listen, Pittsburgh is a pretty good team. They don't play great baseball, like
no.
Fundamentally.
No.
You had the balk that scores a run. You also had the play where Lindor goes to second to try to get the out. McNeil still throws it to first, and because the guy at first didn't run through first, like he slowed up, we ended up getting the out at first.
But he was out at second. Like, I know they called him safe, but wasn't he out at second?
Well, either way, you got to run through first base.
Well, absolutely. But it's a bad job by the umpire.
Well, come on. I mean, how many times are we going to say that?
Yeah,
bad job by the umpire.
I thought it was a pretty heads-up play by the Mets.
Well, it was. I don't know if you go to second. I think that's where it starts. You probably just go to first there on that since the guy's already running, but it doesn't end up costing you because the guy running to first decided he didn't really want to run through first base. But we'll take it. Another series win.
Their pitching is good, though. That kid last night, what was his name? Jones?
Jared Jones. Thank God. Thank God he was on a pitch count and we got him out of that game.
You're not kidding. Because he was, I mean, out of this world good. I don't know that I've ever seen a pitcher throw, what did he throw, 59 pitches and 50 strikes?
That's right.
Have you ever seen that before?
No.
No, I'm being sincere.
I'm not joking. He threw five innings, 59 pitches, 50 strikes, 7 Ks.
And I knew there was a problem when in like the first inning he came out and he I forget who it was, he fanned someone at 100. I was like, huh. I was like, that's a very fast pitch, and he was filthy, but he came out of the game and the Mets cobbled a couple runs together. Joey Wendell comes up in a big spot, gets a big base hit, then they
big
get
hit.
The fortune of the balk like you mentioned, then they tack on the extra run with the hit from McNeil, and you know, Quintana, granted the pitch count wasn't good, but he was, you know, overall pretty good in the bullpen. Reed Garrett sounds like a youth pop star, like a 16-year-old singing star from northern New York or something. Reed Garrett.
I don't care where he's from. If in his spare time he wants to sing pop music,
yeah,
he's got 17 strikeouts already this season.
I'd never heard of him before this season.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, no, he looks good. And Drew Smith came in, and he was phenomenal. I get it, but I was upset. I'm like, you know what? You're three outs away. Diaz will come in. He'll lock it down. I see Drew Smith. I'm like, oh, man. But he did a great
job.
You
wanted the show. You wanted the trumpets. I get
it. Well, I wanted the show, and I feel more comfortable with Edwin Diaz than I do Drew Smith.
Well, of course.
Right.
But you know what? I mean, he's just back. You didn't have him all season. Last thing you want to do is burn out Edwin Diaz, but Drew Smith looked good in the ninth.
He looked very good in the ninth, but here we are. I mean, the Mets are 9-8.
9-8, but after an 0-5 start.
Right. So they've won 9 of their last 12, and they're playing good baseball. And at a minimum, at least they have you engaged, which I got to be honest with you, I didn't think they were going to do this season.
And also, not just an 0-5 start, okay? How the 0-5 start looked. They tried to kill Gary Cohen.
They were this close from Gary Cohen tapping out.
Yeah, you had. I mean, he's on TV as they're sitting through a rain delay. Doesn't want to be there, and then you follow it up with his, "Well, this is rock bottom. getting no hit. No one showed up. Like, you're trying to kill Gerry Cohen. But he's back. They're back.
I know it's the Pirates.
Listen, I know it's the Pirates.
You know what? I don't care. This is not the 3-11 Pirates. I mean, the Pirates' record is pretty good.
Right. Well, they came into this. I mean, you take two in the series so far. They came into the series 11-5. Right? So, I mean, they were playing good baseball, just like Kansas City was playing good baseball.
Right.
Just like, I mean, you have hard time in Atlanta against Atlanta is probably, you know, one of the bigger understatements. But, I mean, you were staring at a series in Atlanta where you didn't love your chances, and you found a way to win that series. So, I mean, the fact that this team was able to battle out of that thing, and now we're sitting here, you know, 9-8, a game over 500, that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. And you can see it. There's a little juice at Citi Field. You know what? I love that one fan they continue to show.
Oh, God. The guy with the chains in the hair.
Who's dressed like
him. I love him.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels like there's a little bit of juice right now with this team. And again, the nice thing is the expectations going into the season were non-existent. But after the first week, we're at rock bottom, like Gerry Cohen said. And the fact that they're 9-8 and, like, you're entertained by them and the pitching has been good and you don't think that Mendoza is a bad manager, maybe David Stearns knew a little more what he was doing than we anticipated, because they look okay right now.
Well, here's the thing, though. This team was going to have to excite the fan base, right? This wasn't one of those, you know, one of those years where it was the expectations are so high, you can't wait to get to the ballpark to go watch it. Like, they had set the expectations low. People didn't have high hopes. Maybe if we're lucky, you know, we can compete for a wild card. Like, you're going to have to prove to the fan base that this was going to be a good team that was worth paying money to go watch. And 0-5, the way it looked, that did not scream, hey, come out to the ballpark and root us on. We have a chance here.
So let me ask you the question now. If Brian called you today after the show and said, Rick, listen, I just got two tickets to the game, 1 o'clock, you want to go, what are you saying?
I would go.
Yeah, because you'd want to go.
Yeah, I would go. I would absolutely go.
Yeah, because you would like to go. There's some juice to this, which I think nobody thought there would be. And now you're 17 games in, and you can see, you know what? They're not great. They're not going to, you know, cut down the nets, but at least they're giving you some entertaining moments, which is more than I think a lot of people thought when the season started.
Right, but I also think that when you look at what this team has the ability to be, for me, the biggest question mark going into the season was going to be the starting pitching. And for the most part, outside of, you know, each guy kind of having his, you know, his bad start where they don't look very good, I thought it was going to have to be the lineup. Similar to kind of like what I said about the Yankees, right? Like, there was still Rodon, awful season last season. You had, you know, Nestor coming back from injury. There were some question marks with the starting pitching now that, you know, Gerrit Cole was out. And then there were also some, hey, what does Anthony Volpe look like in year two? Can he take that next step? Because if he can, and you add him to the mix now with Judge and Soto, that's right. Like, that's gonna, what that's gonna do for your lineup. You know, with a team that has, you know, offense was awful last season. You look at this Mets team now, and the fact that they've shown you this resiliency. You still don't have JD Martinez yet. It doesn't seem like it's that close. But when he comes back, that's gonna help your. That's gonna help this lineup.
Nimmo's been horrendous.
Exactly right. Nimmo's not going.
Outside of one game that you recall.
Lindor hasn't been great.
That hasn't been great would be an understatement.
Okay, I was trying to be nice. McNeil. He sticks his bat out. And then one of those, you know, question marks coming in, young guys, can Brett Beatty be your third baseman? And Brett Beatty looks like he's established himself now as he has a real chance to be the third baseman. He left yesterday with the, you know, with the hamstring tightness, and that's when Wendell stepped in and had the big RBI double. But it's not a bad, like, Marte looks healthy. It's not a bad team.
No, they're not. I think they're okay. I think they're okay. I mean, the offense will get better. The starting pitching has been, for the most part, good, right? There's not a starter that takes the mound now that you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Like, Severino clearly looks like he's past the woes of last year and start one that he had with the Yankees and with the Mets this first start. And like Hauser's pretty good, and Quintana looks like he's the best.
Budo's been good.
And Minaya has pitched pretty well outside, you know, the one start where he was really wild. And, yeah, the bullpen and Reed Garrett and Raleigh is pretty good. So, again, I don't think anybody has these dreams that it's going to wind up in winning the whole thing. But all I ever want, this was supposed to be kind of a, you know, redo this whole thing and get back to the point where you're serviceable. And maybe they are that team right now.
Well, you wanted them to be competitive. You wanted them to be entertaining, to at least, I mean, it's 162 games. And we were on the precipice early in the season where, it, like, a couple more losses, you know, a couple more lost series, and you're looking at, you know, a team that we're not even talking about. Like, they're not even part of the conversation.
Right. At that point. It's when we, you know, RJ prints out the rundown for the day, it's like, you know, we'll talk Yankees, we'll talk Knicks, we'll talk, you know, Rangers, and we'll mention when the Mets are playing.
Yeah, that's about it. And listen, I would also say this, too. As hard as it is to kind of wrap your head around the fact that we're sitting here in a, you know, however you want to call it, retooling year, gap year, whatever you want to call it, till this money comes off of our books, because now I guess we have a budget. It is important for Stearns to have this kind of work. Now, I'm not saying that it has to end up with I would like it to. I mean, the owner said he'd be disappointed if they weren't a postseason team, but like to prove to the fan base that we got the right guy.
Yeah. I think you have to feel pretty good about what he is now. Because it's not a sexy team, but they're playing competitive baseball, real competitive baseball. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast. Who doesn't like breakfast? Featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. Yes, you heard right. Fresh hot waffles. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, so we're just getting things going. We have Stump Rothenberg at about 7:45. 1-800-919-3776. We start with the positivity of the Mets. And, you know, we thought the Mets would maybe never get here. We didn't think the Yankees were going to get here so quickly either, but on the different side of things. 1-800-919-3776. And if you didn't hear, we have some answers for when the Knicks will be playing, and we have some answers for who the Rangers will be playing. All that and more, DNR 98.7. ESPN.
The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. To use during the NBA playoffs, you can bet on Philadelphia or Miami in tonight's play-in tournament. Maybe like the Hawks or Bulls, FanDuel also has three-point props, over-unders, first basket score bets, and so much more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rick to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mets, really good win. Yankees, ooh, not so good. Carlos Rodon, like we talked about it on the show yesterday, go out there and give me, I don't know, six innings of two-run baseball, and he can't do it. He gets through four. He throws 100 pitches, a big base hit to Guerrero, working in and out of trouble the whole game. And, I mean, not having Cole is, you know, kind of showing up now for the Yankees, whose starting pitching has not been great over the last couple of games.
And his stuff wasn't bad, though. I mean, that would be the most frustrating thing if I was Carlos Rodon. I mean, his fastball was up at 98 miles an hour. He couldn't get anyone out. He couldn't finish at bats. I mean, that with the single that you're talking about, the Guerrero, was it?
Base hit up the middle, score two with the bases loaded.
Right. He had Springer. He was up on Springer 0-2. And ends up walking him.
Well, he had horrendous command. He threw 100 pitches in four innings yesterday.
I understand that. Well, it was also, they had 27 foul balls. Like, they did a really good job of spoiling pitches. But that, again, that's no excuse. He had lost two straight. Right? Now, I mean, you're supposed to be the guy. We're paying you to be the guy now that Gerrit Cole's not here, and you went four and threw over 100 pitches. And on top of that, again, more defensive stuff. Now, I know it was a heads-up play at the time, and Cabrera doesn't complete the tag, but that play's not made in the sixth. And then, you know, IKF steals. Gleyber tries to go for the sweep tag. Ball comes out of his glove. Now that scores a run. I mean, in theory, had they taken the out at first and, you know, we catch the ball and make the tag, or it you end up costing two runs there.
Right. Well, it feels like the little detailed stuff, like when you score nine runs and you're hammering the ball and Soto's crushing it and whatever, you make a mishap here, a mishap there, it doesn't matter. But when you're not hitting great, which they're not right now, and when your big boys are not producing and you're not getting really good starting pitching, then you kind of notice the small details, and the small details right now for the Yankees are not succeeding. It's not working.
No, and on top, I mean, and it gets magnified because, like you said, you're having a hard time hitting and scoring runs. I mean, your top six last night were a combined 2-for-21 with 9 strikeouts. I mean, Anthony Volpe, who's been really good, had a real hard time with Kikuchi. Aaron Judge with another 0-4, hasn't been good. Rizzo got robbed of a couple of two great plays in left field on Rizzo.
Oh, what Fletcher, is that his name?
No, Schneider was the first one, and then Varsho was the second one.
No. Is there a Fletcher that played that was a scrappy player last night, or am I mistaken by that?
Those weren't the ones that made the play in left field.
All right. I thought there was a... Clement, that's who I'm thinking of.
That was not who made the play, no.
The third baseman, right. Those were great plays in left field.
Close. I mean, Clement, Fletcher, close.
Well, you know what? It was the same, similar amount of letters.
Are you okay?
Are you all right?
Me?
Yeah, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Why?
All right, just making sure.
I've concerns.
You make it sound like this is abnormal. This is exactly who I am.
It's flaring up.
Nothing is flaring up. I mean, Clement is not an everyday name. It's French origins, Clement. Well, Fletcher is like, I'm trying to Americanize.
Right. Well,
Fletcher.
Clement plays third base.
Yeah. I want him to be Fletcher. Whatever. Fletcher, Clement. It's tomato, tomato. It's right there.
Well, he's the one that slid into third and avoided the Cabrera tag.
Yes, he is.
And ends up scoring when Gleyber tried to do the little swipe tag.
Yes. Not a great tag.
No.
No. But it kind of feels like it's every day with him.
He's in one. He's struggling. I think we kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday. There are some players that in the midst of a contract year rise to the occasion and have great seasons, and then there's other ones that start to feel the pressure, especially when you get off to a slow start. And it feels like he's in that second category.
So, question for you, and I'm not saying we should, but we sit here and we've been very critical, and I think everybody has, of Francisco Lindor. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. At what point are you allowed to start to be very critical of Aaron Judge?
I don't even think that they're in the same... I think you can be critical of Aaron Judge if you want, but... I mean, they're, like, as far as, you know, who's the better player, and it's not even
close? No. I mean, Judge is every day of the week the better player. I'm not making that statement. I'm just saying Aaron Judge, through the first 3 weeks of the season, has played bad baseball.
Offensively, has not been good, no. I mean, he's had a couple moments. He had, I mean, that one bomb the other day. But, no, you're not getting what you're accustomed to seeing from Aaron Judge. And it also, I mean, it highlights how important he is to this lineup. Now, when Volpe's going the way he was going and Soto was going the way he's going, yeah, I mean, you can win games. But we saw it last year, what this offense looked like when he was, you know, he was hurt. And what he did the previous year where he dragged that team. He's that good.
He's that good. He can be that good. But this season so far, he has not been that version of Aaron Judge. And listen, remember a couple things. He was hurting in spring training.
Right.
And he had the full body fatigue or whatever, or the spring training fatigue or however they labeled it. And then he came out and told you that he's going to be fighting this toe thing probably for the rest of his career. So, and then he's gotten off to a very slow start. So, again, I'm not saying we should kill him. I don't think we should. I just think you have to take notice. Now, when you're winning games, it's fine, right? Like, you're beating up on everyone. You're going to Arizona and winning. You're destroying everybody that's in your path. Whatever. Judge will hit. And I still believe Judge will hit. I'm not worried about it. But it's more glaring. Like Gleyber Torres, right? When you're winning games and Gleyber makes these little minute mistakes, like, whatever, we're winning games, you can look past it. When you're losing games and Gleyber makes these mistakes, they're more glaring. When you're losing games and you're not playing good baseball and you don't get good starting pitching and you're not getting any production from Aaron Judge, I think it's much more noticeable than when you're winning games.
Right. And I think how you framed it the entire time is, because this has been something that we've talked about, is Yankees are winning, but if you want to nitpick, not criticize, nitpick, because you're winning. So you're not focusing really on the negative stuff. I mean, you can point out things that eventually are going to be a problem. And we've talked about the infield defense. We've talked about Rizzo's defense. That could be problems down the road. But the reason why I think there was so much negativity thrown towards Francisco Lindor was because the Mets weren't winning. They started
That's
the season
exactly right.
0-5. He looked lost the plate lefty. And I think a lot of people are saying to themselves, if this thing is going to get turned around, he's going to be a big part of it. And the team around him is not good enough for him to deal with a slow start, which he's accustomed to doing. We can't live with that right now. We're paying, and that's part of being, you know, compensated the way that these guys are compensated. When you get paid at a certain level, there are higher expectations.
There's higher expectations, and when you're winning, it cures all. And when you're losing, it's much more noticeable.
Right, and it's also a different kind of struggle, though. I mean, what Lindor was...
Well, he looked like overmatched. He didn't look like he even belonged at the major league level the way his at-bats
were. Right, we were talking about struggle where his average is at what, like 0-60?
Right.
63 or something?
Right. But he's up to what, like 130 now?
I think he's up past that. I think he's up to 140 now.
140?
I think he's up at 140, I want to say 145-ish.
But also, like, it was so bad with Lindor that we were discussing, does he maybe, you know, forego batting lefty anymore, right? Like, it was to that level.
Watching his at-bats lefty as opposed to righty, I don't know, at some point, I know it doesn't happen, but at some point, watching myself back, because you're obviously going over video, like, hey, maybe as a righty, I could hit righties. It wouldn't be so bad.
I think he probably could. Let's hear from Aaron Boone. This is the Yankees manager, Aaron Boone. What are you seeing right now from Aaron Judge?
Just not dominating, you know, probably the heater like he normally does. Again, like, he's going to get it and buckle up. So, yeah, I feel like he's been in and out of getting real close at times. But, you know, just got to work to get that feeling, and he will.
I have zero doubt that he will. I'm sure he will.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. I mean, when he's right now, I don't know how much what you were saying earlier, just the abdomen stuff, oblique, whatever you want to call it, from spring training, if that's affecting him at all. I think you have to think that him just not having a regular spring training is part of the reason why he's off to a slow start. But when the guy's healthy, like, you know what you're going to get. He's going to play at a level that's right there at the top of baseball as one of the best players. And that's just who he is. And right now, he's like, listen, I'm sure there's plenty of instances during a season for Aaron Judge where he goes through slides like this. This one just so happens to be at the start of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's more notable when you're losing games.
When they lose.
Right. We have some audio from Aaron Judge. Here is the Yankees' enormous center fielder on his slow start to the
game. Hey, it's baseball. You know, you go through ups and downs like this throughout the year. Obviously, you don't want to start out like that, you know, but we keep throwing out wins. You know, we didn't win tonight, but you know, all we can do is show up tomorrow and keep working and end the series with a win.
On his at-bat so far this season.
Just like every year, you know, still trying to improve, still trying to work. Yeah, just when I'm getting my pitch, just missing it, you know, but we got to keep throwing out good at-bats, take my walks when I can if I don't get anything, and you know, just keep staying aggressive. You know, that's the only way to, you know, get out there and put some hits, especially with our lineup, is, you know, you got to keep swinging.
And again, what are the Yankees, 12-6 right now?
It is wild, though, how closely we dissect every baseball game, knowing that we're only 18 games into 162.
Yeah, we're at the infancy stages of the season. But again, if this was, you know, Cabrera, or this was, you know, Joey Wendell, we wouldn't do it. When it's Lindor and when it's Aaron Judge, this is what we do.
Well, because, I mean, yeah, we have expectations with those
There's
guys.
A Cabrera, different sta- we, Cabrera's we been... these star players to a different standard.
That's going to be an interesting decision when LeMahieu comes back. I'm with you.
It wouldn't be an interesting decision to me. You'd have to earn your playing time back.
Well, I mean, how are you going to do that? In the cage? No, he's going to have to play at some point.
Well, you know, you could find a spot for you DH one day and play third one day and play second one day. Like, you could find a spot for him.
Oh, you'll find a spot for him. I'm just saying. Like, as far as receiving regular playing time with the way Cabrera is swinging the bat right now, I would have a hard time just saying, hey, DJ, here's third base back.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls on the baseball, 1-800-919-3776. NBA started. We'll give you the Knicks updated schedule. We have some information on that. The Rangers' opponent is set as well. And something happened in hockey last night that you said could happen in hockey last night. You're good. You do a nice job. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN.
Choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths. One child dies every 5 days from choking, but let me tell you about LifeVac, a life-saving airway clearance device that has saved over 1,950 lives. LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. For a small investment, less than $75, you can be prepared to save a life. Visit LifeVac.net and enter promo code ESPN to save 20% and secure your home kit today. That's LifeVac.net and enter promo code ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. How you feeling?
Not bad. Not bad. How about yourself?
You like the Wednesday?
It's solid. It feels like we're really making progress with the week.
It's solid.
Yeah, I'm not gonna overhype the Wednesday. I think it's solid. It's nice.
No, the Wednesday, like okay, this is what you do. You're Mr. Sports Analogy. Give me a comp for the Wednesday to something in sports.
I would say the Wednesday's when you know what Wednesday is?
What's Wednesday?
Kirk Cousins. Can I win the week with Wednesday? I don't know. Can I lose it? Maybe. It's the line of demarcation. Thursday and Friday, really, really nice. Monday, Tuesday, you ain't winning with those. So I don't want to overpay for the Wednesday, though, which is what Kirk Cousins is.
I think you got to give more credit to Kirk Cousins. I think you're diminishing the value of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is good.
I mean, what, he's one playoff win? I don't want to go crazy.
He's a good quarterback, though.
He is good.
He's better. I don't think it's a great comp. What do you think, Rick? Great comp?
Well, I'm siphoning off Saturday, Sunday, though. We're strictly talking Monday to Wednesday in my analogy.
What do you mean Monday to Wednesday?
Or Monday to Friday, excuse me. No, Saturday, Sunday. Because if you include Saturday, Sunday, now we have to, you know, redo the whole analogy.
No, I mean, Sunday's the Patrick Mahomes of days. Right, maybe actually Saturday's the Patrick.
I got to tell you, though. Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't got football, Saturday's the day.
If you don't got football?
I would even throw Friday night into the mix.
He's coming after your grammar. This is the same.
I mean, come on, what
Fletcher,
kind of show are we?
Fletcher, Clement, whatever.
Fletcher. Well,
whatever. Also, that's an honest mistake. If you don't got football.
Also, pop star Reed Garrett.
Reed Garrett sounds like a youth pop star, like a 16-year-old singing star from northern New York or something. He does.
Right. That's where all the big-time pop stars come from,
northern New York.
What is northern New York?
Like Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Like right on the border. Reed Garrett. And now, taking the stage, Reed Garrett. And all like the teenage girls go crazy. You guys just don't understand. But I like what
Reed will be Fletcher Clement.
I like what you guys have done. This guy can't even speak the English language, and now you're going to turn it on me.
I got a story, by the way.
Yeah?
That is so up your alley.
Well, let's go.
And I'd be interested to see how you would have reacted in this spot.
Let's go.
So, you were nervous going into that. You weren't nervous. You're anxious going into that last Rangers game, right?
Well, just because you know what it was. I guess this is selfish take, but I feel overall like this for them too. Like so much effort and so much energy in 81 games. You did everything you wanted to do, and I didn't want to let it get away with one game against Ottawa. Is how
right? Finish it. Finish
right.
The job.
That's right.
Okay. So that night, the night of that game, we were supposed to. We had a men's league hockey game. Now, I couldn't, it was too late, so I couldn't play in it. So one of the guys on the team is a diehard. Like you with the Giants, that's how much he loves the Rangers. Okay. So he makes sure he comes in the locker room and says to everybody, listen, and there's a lot of Rangers fans on the team, I DVR'd the game, don't say a word.
I would have been livid.
Which is already a struggle for this guy. Like he wants to, because he loves both, but he wants to make it, everyone, shut your mouths. And I guess someone walked in and said Rangers up 1-0, and he lost his mind.
Now lost his mind to what extent?
Like lost, like close to going like crazy and leaving, lost his mind. And he's like, I'm telling you right now, if anyone says anything about this score, I'm going to lose it.
Now, let me ask you this, though. The guy that walked in, Rangers up 1-0, had he heard this guy's...
No.
All right, so it's not like he was trying to be a jerk. He just stepped into a bad situation.
Right. But now that everyone on the team, and this is one of the guys that we like busting his chops, knows that he'll go crazy, is now messing around with him. So game goes on. They get back in the locker room. One of the guys comes in, and to be a jerk, says, Rangers won. And he went
crazy.
Oh,
I don't blame him for that.
So they finally now, seeing how crazy he went, talked him into, hey, no, we're just kidding. We don't know what the score was. We're just joking. We wanted to get a rise out of you. He buys it. Yeah, I think he wanted to buy it. So now he still has the hope, I'm going to have a beer here at the game, big win, have a beer, go home, watch the Rangers. Out of nowhere, guy who's keeping score of the game comes bombing to the locker room. Rangers win 4-0. Yeah, boys.
And this guy lost his mind.
Lost his
mind. Well, you know what I will say, though? Like, it's not like he was in Temple. Or in church, and people are walking by. Like, he was in a hockey environment.
Right.
So, do you really blame the guy that burst into the locker room is like, Rangers up 1-0, or the scorekeeper who says Rangers won 4-0?
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Like, outside of the beginning of the game, usually where, like, the guy will come in just to get our roster, he doesn't come in the locker room. There's no scorekeeper that comes in the locker room. I guess for whatever reason, the scorekeeper came in and like gave a player the game and then decided he wanted to pop in and just let everyone know Rangers win 4-0.
Well, I think he wanted to let everyone know because it was such a big deal. It was a big game, right? That's the President's Trophy. It had that level of magnitude. Here's the truth. I think this guy made a big mistake by going to play in the game.
I think he tried to have his cake and eat it too, and it didn't work out.
I mean, you can't always make your own cake and then eat it as well.
Right. He tried to get the best of both worlds and it backfired.
Yeah, it really did. So the original guy, I don't blame. Messing around with him, I don't think was nice. The second guy was, you know, maybe he's trying to curry favor. I don't know all these hockey players all that well. So, the Rangers won. I can, mention that to them and that'll trigger some conversation.
It did not trigger the kind of conversation he was looking for.
Yeah, but you can't go play in that game.
Yeah,
I don't think you can go play in that game. More proactive where when you walk like up and down the hallways or anybody opens the door, don't say the Rangers score.
Right, but in fairness to him, never in the history of this men's league that we play in does the guy that's keeping score doing the time come into the locker room after games usually.
it's not good.
It was not good, no.
It's not good. But the only thing I'll say is at least the Rangers won.
Right.
Like had they lost this, I would think this would be a lot worse.
It would have been a lot. I'm sure it would have been a lot worse. Yeah.
So he finds out Rangers win 4-0, and he's still angry.
Still angry. Yeah, because he was hell bent. I'm gonna watch this thing on DVR. Don't screw it up for me.
Right.
And I guess the celebratory beer was then fired across the locker room, and then he left.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he put himself in a great position to win.
Well, I just don't, like, listen, I wouldn't have checked that box either. Like, I wouldn't have thought in my mind I got to skate up to the guy, doing the clock and be like, hey, listen, keep your Rangers score to yourself.
You need to do it with everybody, though. Right. When I was at that dinner where the Packers are playing the Niners and I was DVRing the game, when I walked through the restaurant, I put my hands over my ears and I was la, 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 don't tell me the score, don't tell me the score. Like, you need to be very proactive when it's this kind of a situation.
Yeah, I don't think he probably should have consulted with you before he made the decision.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So how about this? So RJ, I get RJ, help me with this story. So apparently we got RJ a glorious baby gift. Is that right?
Yeah, really thoughtful.
Very thoughtful. We put a lot of what did we get? What did we get you?
Fanatics, was it a Fanatics gift card?
No.
No, this was Sherry orchestrated, but it's...
Oh, you don't know.
And okay, what did you get me?
The thing. Book.
It was a book. Well, you got there. So it's a letter book where it spells every the first, middle, and last name of the baby, and it goes page by page to teach the child their name, and you can read to the kid, even if they don't. But it's really nice. Nice pictures. Nice graphics.
It was a beautiful, thoughtful, well-conceived gift. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I texted Dave yesterday. I said, hey, I actually love your idea so much, I plan to steal it. Because I have a buddy who's they're having a kid here in the coming weeks. I go, I want to use your gift. It's really nice. So I needed the link, and you were nice enough to consult with the head of the household and send it on over.
That's right. So I got this information for him, sent it over to him. But now RJ feels a way about this. He feels like he's stealing my gift idea, gift idea, and I don't feel like that at all.
I don't think RJ feels a way at all here. I think you may be overstating it.
RJ, that's the way you portrayed it to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable giving that gift to someone that you also knew, but you don't know this person, so I feel pretty good about my thievery.
But it's not thievery.
In a way, it's a nice. I've never seen it used before. So it's nice.
So now you're going to make this your own, though?
I think so. Play it off right as my own, not give you any credit. I think that's the way I'm going to go.
No, see, here's what I'd like. Every time you give this as a gift, I'd like you to cite me and Sherry.
This should be the go-to gift for all.
Or just Sherry. Since,
what do you mean?
It was up to Dave, if he would have said, hey, let's get them a baby, Babies R Us gift card.
In an elite setup by me!
Yeah, if I told you gave me just now, if you were like, the thing we got you, a toy race car, you would have been like, oh, great. Oh, I got him an airplane. I got him a trip to Vegas.
No, that's nice of us. No. How dare you? There's two go-to gifts that I know Sherry goes to. One of those is this beautiful book with all the letters in which you are so fond of. Now you want to start getting for others. And secondarily, she has a baby blanket with the baby's name, birth date, and I'm not sure weight on it or not, but name and birth date on it, which is also very nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
The Rothenbergs are thoughtful people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice.
And that's the go-to gift that she goes to.
That's right.
It's nice that you're able to attach yourself. You know who you are? You're like, in this situation, you're like a Juju Smith-Schuster with the Chiefs. Like, you caught on to you're in the perfect situation.
You had to use that comparison?
Yeah,
really?
Let me take it out.
RJ, I don't know if I would have used. I don't know if I used. Juju
I think RJ.
Smith.
I think RJ knows exactly what he was doing.
You talk about a misstep.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Was it a misstep?
I think so.
I think it's accurate.
Well, you think I'm a take it out kind of guy?
You on Snapchat, Dave? Being on the Snapchat?
I'm not on Snapchat. I'm on Instagram.
You are. You're doing well, actually.
It happens on Instagram too.
I'm on Twitter. Listen, but I'm not on Snapchat. Should I get on Snapchat?
I think things were going well with Sherry, and then, you know, you pulled the juju, and like, here you are, all the two decades later.
All right. Just to let you know, I just got it because my wife is always listening to the show. She's our number one listener. She says, he's not stealing the gift idea. I started giving it because I love the one someone gave to Ben some 17 years ago.
It's an elite gift. Truly elite.
So there you go. So you're doing nothing of the stealing sort.
Well, thank you to the Rothenberg family.
Yeah. RJ,
is that the book like by the end they put his whole name up on like it's are there like are there like characters involved?
Yeah,
like,
a lot of animals.
Like he's going to speed on by with the A and then
yeah, they have book? Yeah, it might be the same one. A lot of animals holding letters. It's really nice.
Well, you want to jump all over it, Rick? Is that what you want to do?
No, I think someone bought us the same book.
Maybe
or
it was
a similar
us?
Book. It might have been. I don't know if it was or not, but we got each kid has one. They love that.
I don't think we got one for Rocco. I mean, for Milo.
No, I don't think it. That might have been.
We weren't at the point where we were gift giving at that point.
Actually, it might have been Heather, Cassie's friend Heather, that got it.
Not familiar with Heather. Tell me about Heather.
Heather's a great gift giver. Great.
Is that right?
Oh, fantastic.
Is she a pretty lady?
She's a very pretty lady.
Is she taken?
It is taken.
Ray, I tried for you.
Younger man, too. She cooged it up.
Really?
Yeah, I went for the younger guy.
Is he a handsome guy?
A good-looking guy. Yeah.
Good-looking guy.
Really good-looking guy.
That's nice.
A former rugby player.
Really? So a tough man. Cauliflower ear?
No, does not have the cauliflower ear, no. Nope.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
He does have the earring, though, with the like the stretched-out earlobe situation.
Ugh.
I don't love it.
That's not, no.
It's not super wide, though. It's not really.
I don't be better than that.
Well, he's a nice guy.
Well, he might be the greatest guy, but that's not a great look.
I don't judge him for it.
Well, I do.
Okay. Well, now maybe we can't have you around him now if you're going to be judgy.
No, I think that I would be appropriate. I just think that I would know that I don't like that.
I could see with one of those.
No, you could not.
You have Sherry nibble on it a little bit?
Nibble on my wide earlobe?
Yeah.
Let's get RJ. We're gonna have to do this read in a moment, by the way, so get yourself prepared. Luke in the car. Luke, hi, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
I want to touch on Oswaldo Cabrera because I believe Dave, it was you before who said with LeMahieu, he comes back, he has to earn his playing time. I agree 100%. And I've gone to a couple games in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, and the one thing I'll say. And Rick, I'm sure you can appreciate this. Cabrera hustles more than almost any other player out there on every single play. And I absolutely, as a fan, love his effort. Even when he grounds, you know, a hard ball, whatever, to second base, the dude he's at least making an effort. And as a fan, I appreciate that more than anything else. And I was really sad to see that he sat 5 games the other day. I didn't understand that. Why not take Torres out for a game, Verdugo out for a game? And, you know, the guy's been producing. Why not have him play more?
Well, I think they didn't like the matchup. You know what the thing is, too, with this lineup is that it's outside of Volpe, I mean, you need, especially with where baseball is now, you need guys that are athletic. And Cabrera's, I mean, he's an athletic guy. He's much more athletic than DJ LeMahieu is. Right?
Oh, I don't think DJ LeMahieu is athletic.
No, he's not, especially now dealing with the, you know, it's a different injury, right. But another foot.
I mean, listen, we talked at the time. Is this smart to keep DJ LeMahieu for that length of time? And I think there was a lot of consternation about it, a lot of discussion about it. And I think now you sit here, in retrospect, it probably could have been used, that money, better elsewhere.
Well, they decided that they wanted to pay less average annual and go more years.
Well, now you're locked in.
And now you're locked in.
RJ, you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Okay. The second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up. When is that?
That's Thursday, May 2nd, which is really not that far away at all.
I think it's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
It really is.
Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. From where?
Publicans, not Pelicans. Publicans.
Publicans. And yeah. Where would Publicans be?
That's in Manhasset.
Which is where?
On an island that is long.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It steps away from the Manhasset train station. And then we're going to, what are we going to do?
We're going to take the choo-choo train, the LIRR.
Are you talking to children here when we're doing this? Right?
Yeah, we're talking children's books. I'm in the mode now, yeah.
After the show.
That's right.
The entire crew and all the fans are going to take the train to where?
To Citi Field.
That's right. For the, what time will the game start?
1:10, but we're going in much earlier.
Well, not much. I'd say we start heading into our seats by 12:55. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's nice.
And who will the Mets play that day?
The Cubs, Dave.
Yeah, and what are they known as?
Small Bears.
That's right. We're going to be sitting where in that stadium, that giant stadium?
Section 129.
All right, so let's recap here. It's the pregame party, and it's when?
Thursday, May 2nd.
And it's brought to you by?
Montauk Brewing Company.
Right, so come as you are, mm-hmm. And it's also brought to you by?
Zing Zang.
Yeah, that's America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now, it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails. Available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy, please.
Zing Zang.
That's right. Responsibly. You needed to get another Zing Zang in there, didn't you?
Yeah. By the way, a lot of compliments on the way you're orchestrating this read.
From who?
Oh, very high up people.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't even tell you that.
Give me a name.
I can't do that.
No?
No, just imagine high up people.
Like all the way up, like Pitaro.
Yes, Jimmy. Reached
Iger.
Out yesterday.
Iger?
Yeah, they talked about it at the board meeting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Stock is exactly where we want, and the DNR pregame party promo, elite.
That was the rundown. The minutes of the meeting did cite those things, yes.
That's nice. So I'm assuming there's going to be some Zing Zang at the pregame party then.
I mean, one can only hope, yeah.
I would hope. That's
I was going to ask that question. We got Zing Zang and we got the Montauk Brewing Company.
Right.
So it has to be a better chance that I don't have to like use a special secret password to get into the six-pack that they brought last year.
You would figure.
Right? Like this would be more freely available. Hey, where are those Coronas that you guys said we had? Oh, the guy over there that's sitting on that tiny little cooler, he's got the six that he's protecting.
That's right, that he's hiding away.
he's sitting like in the corner hidden behind a car.
No, I think this will be more accessible this year, which is nice.
What's the secret password? New England clam chowder.
Oh, all right, you can have one.
I do remember that because we met you guys there, as we'll do this year. And I asked, somebody said, you want to grab a beer? I said, okay, who do I talk to? It's like, there's a guy around the corner.
There's a guy in a cooler.
It seemed very shady.
That if you sit there and say the right word, you might be able to get one.
Somebody like pulled me aside. See that truck there?
Yes.
Go behind it.
Steve will be there. Steve's not your contact. Behind Steve is where you go.
If there's multiple people, the safe word, zebra. Just run.
Yeah. All right. Let's
do this. You might want to sip on that beer, too, because we only have six.
That's right. There's not a lot of beer. Let's take a break. We'll come back. It'll be different. I mean, now we're educated. Now we know better how to run the appropriate pregame party. We'll come back. We'll get into the Knicks and Rangers a little bit, more into the baseball, more into your calls, 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Now, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every single industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people, well, even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. When you stop on by, what do you say?
Hello!
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.